following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Bless You, Experiencing God's Blessing in a Life Full of Challenge. We have noted in this series that blessing, in the biblical view, is more of a spiritual than a material condition. We can talk, of course, about being blessed with prosperity or health or success, but people can have all those things and still be miserable. Blessedness is, above all, a condition of spiritual wholeness. The spiritual nature of blessedness comes to the fore in Jesus' central teaching about blessedness in the Beatitudes, the blessed are sayings with which Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount. We've considered several of the Beatitudes previously in the sermon series, and today we are looking at the fifth Beatitude, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive," or "they will obtain mercy." Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The word mercy, in its Hebrew forms and in the Greek word eleos, which is the word in our passage, has a major role in the Bible. The Bible speaks often of the mercy of God, as in the passage we heard this morning from the Psalms, which said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." The Bible also speaks of people showing mercy to one another. In a broad sense, to be merciful means to show consideration and compassion to those who are weak or in need. In Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan who helps the man by the roadside is described at the end as the one who showed mercy. When we look at Jesus himself, he certainly was one who showed mercy as he continually reached out with compassion to those who were downtrodden and needy. This congregation is merciful. Last Sunday, we made an appeal for a girl named Zanita, who is the niece of Andy and Josephine Lepp, active members of our congregation. Zanita is suffering from sickle cell disease in Uganda, a serious and very painful illness, which can be cured, but the medical procedure needed is very expensive. People were invited last Sunday to make a donation or contribution to a fund for Zanita, and just last Sunday, this congregation gave around $3,500. Late yesterday evening, our mountaintop mission team returned from a week of home repair and day camp ministry in the mountains of Tennessee, with 40 youth and young adult leaders working there. Our congregation gave thousands of dollars to support that mission. Our mission team members gave their sweat. It was hot, they worked hard, all in order to reach out to people who are less fortunate. Today, we are being invited to contribute to UMCOR, which helps people in our own country and around the world who are suffering from disasters. It is one more avenue through which we show mercy. You will note that all these activities are quite the opposite of what people typically think of when they think of being blessed. The common idea is that to be blessed is to be the recipient of lots of good stuff. Jesus says that we are truly blessed when we give mercy to others. So, to be merciful, first of all, is to engage in what we often call acts of mercy. Precisely here, we see the key nature of the Christian life, which stands in bold contrast to much of what is going on in our world. Our headlines are dominated by acts of terror. The horrendous mass murder in Nice, France this past week was one more expression of the depths of human sinfulness. How, when people turn away from God, they can descend into great evil. But what a difference we see when people are genuinely touched by God's grace. Every time we engage in acts of mercy, we bear witness to what Christ can do in human hearts as Christ leads us to live in compassion for others. Jesus is leading us in that direction as he says, "Blessed are the merciful." But then there is a further meaning to the biblical term eleos or mercy. It is to show forgiveness. This is where being merciful can get really tough. Not only does it seem well nigh impossible to forgive a mass murderer, it is difficult to forgive average people who are not criminals, but who nevertheless wrong us in some troubling way. You know, if we are kind-hearted people, it is not too difficult to be moved to acts of compassion when, for example, we see pictures of children in need. Our heart goes out to them, and we are naturally moved to want to help them. But when someone does wrong to us in some serious way, our heart does not go out to them. We are not just naturally inclined to forgive. Forgiveness is difficult. And yet, forgiveness is one of our greatest human needs, both as individuals and as a society. We are flawed human beings, and so we are always making blunders. We disappoint ourselves, and we hurt one another. Without forgiveness, we become stuck in bitterness, regret, anger, and despair. The only way to blessedness is through forgiveness. And forgiveness, in enormous measure, is what Jesus brings. As Jesus goes to the cross, he takes all our human wrongs upon himself. As Paul would say, when we were dead in sin, God made us alive together with Christ when he forgave our sin, nailing it all to the cross. Through Christ, we can each be truly and completely forgiven. Thus, Christ becomes the fulfillment of what God promised through the prophet Jeremiah, "I will forgive their sin and remember their sins no more." And so in Jesus, we can experience what the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Jesus referred to that experience of mercy in the Beatitudes when he said, "They will receive mercy." This then is precisely what we need to do in our own hearts. We need to receive the forgiveness of God that is being offered to us through Jesus Christ. As it is said in the book of Hebrews, "Let us come to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy." But in order to truly receive God's forgiveness, we need also to show forgiveness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, those who show mercy, for they will receive mercy." This message, that there is a connection between receiving mercy and showing mercy, is a point that Jesus makes emphatically. We heard it in that parable that was read this morning. Jesus told about a servant who owed a huge debt to his master, which he could not possibly pay. The master was about to sell the servant and the servant's entire family into slavery in order to recover the debt. But the servant pleaded for mercy, and the master forgave the servant the entire debt. Then the servant went out and encountered a fellow servant who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized the servant by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe me." The fellow servant pleaded for mercy, but the servant, who had himself just been forgiven, refused to extend mercy, but had the fellow servant thrown into prison. Jesus concluded the parable as follows. Then his Lord summoned the servant and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay the entire debt. Then, just to be sure we get the point, Jesus says, "So my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." I cannot think of any area where Jesus is stronger or clearer in his teaching. His message that receiving God's forgiveness is connected to showing forgiveness is also enshrined at the very center of the Lord's Prayer in the phrase, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Why does Jesus place such emphasis on showing forgiveness? Perhaps it is because he knew that this would be one of the hardest things for human beings to do. When someone does us a real wrong, it is difficult to forgive. And yet Jesus says that to refuse to forgive is also to block ourselves from God's mercy. There's a story about the 18th century British general James Oglethorpe, how he once caught a servant stealing a bottle of wine, a very good bottle of wine, and he had the servant severely punished. John Wesley, our Methodist founder, heard about the incident and approached the general, asking him to find it in his heart to forgive the servant. "Sir," the general said, "I never forgive." Wesley replied, "Well then, sir, I hope you never offend." The refusal to forgive is sadly characteristic of human life. Do we not see it in the news every day? People harbor resentments, and they then express those resentments in belligerence, strife, sometimes horrible acts of violence. Jesus leads us in a completely different direction. He is leading us into a life of mercy, a life in which we receive God's forgiveness, even for the greatest sins, and a life in which we show God's forgiveness, even for the greatest wrongs. A life in which finally we embody God's compassion and mercy. The good news is that God is merciful. When we enter into God's mercy, offered to you and me in Jesus Christ, we can finally forgive ourselves. We can finally forgive one another, and we can live then in the love of God and so find blessedness, a life in God's peace and God's joy. Let us pray. Eternal God, it is so easy for us to forget you, to stray, to stumble in life. We end up so often in wrongs, we disappoint ourselves, we hurt one another. But you reach out to us with mercy. You are here today to work in us with forgiveness, to have your Spirit flowing through our lives, to renew, to cleanse, to lift us up, to enable us then to live fully in life as your people. Inspire us, O Lord, to open our hearts to you in faith, that your mercy might cleanse us within, that you would lift us up to be able to live fully in your grace and to reach out then in your mercy to the world around us. We do pray, O Lord, for people who are near to us in times of particular need. We pray for those in our own congregation who are in times of illness. We pray, Lord, for your healing power. We pray, O Lord, for persons around our world who are in times of great need and trouble. We especially lift up this morning those persons who are suffering in France from the aftermath of that horrendous attack this past week. We think of people around the world who suffer from horrible violence and hatred. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be at work in human hearts, bringing hope and enabling people to find new ways of living, that your peace might take further hold in our world. And we pray, Lord, that you would empower us, that we might be instruments of your mercy in our world today. We give thanks for our mission team that just returned from Mountaintop, thanking you for all the good that they did this past week, praising you for the kind of witness that they made. We thank you that we can join with one another as a church and reach out in so many ways. We lift up this week our fellow United Methodist Church in Medina. We pray, Lord, you would empower us as through UMCOR and through many channels, we seek to reach out to others in times of difficulty and disaster. Guide us, O Lord, as we look to you in openness and trust, as we be receptive to the working of your Spirit, that your mercy might truly flow in and through our lives. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.